President Obama is about to make an historic visit to Cuba, but he's making it a little easier for other Americans to visit the island nation before he goes. Today, the Obama administration eased people-to-people travel to Cuba, and it opened up Cuban access to the international banking system. As relations continue to normalize between the U.S. and Cuba, things on the island are expected to change. Things like the country's agriculture system, which has been called one of the world's most sustainable by organizations like the World Wildlife Fund. Joining us to talk about that is Greg Watson, founder and director of the new Cuba-U.S. Agroecology Network. Greg, why does Cuba have such sustainable agriculture practices?
Well, it's actually not by choice. It was out of necessity. When the Soviet bloc collapsed in 1989 to 1991, Cuba, who had been dependent almost entirely upon the Soviet Union for its exports, but also for providing it with its petroleum and petroleum-based products, primarily chemical fertilizers and pesticides, lost all that. And to avoid starvation, they were forced to figure out how they could grow food without the use of those chemical inputs.
Now, urban agriculture has been a big thing in Cuba, again, for the same reason, out of necessity. It seems like it's persisted in Cuba. Why is that?
Well, again, I think there still is economic stress there and economic strain. So the sort of major agricultural areas, Pinar del Rio, which is at the western tip of Cuba, still about 2 hours away. And so it's still costly to get food from some of what will be considered to be their rural agricultural regions into the city. And right now, the urban agricultural system is providing about 65 to 70% of the fresh fruits and vegetables consumed in, for instance, Havana. So it's a system that works.
Is that just because of the cost of gas, what it might cost to transport stuff to Havana?
Absolutely. And the transportation system has suffered. As you know, the infrastructure is still in pretty bad shape there as a result of the embargo and the collapse of the Soviet Union.
Do they get to sell their produce and earn money from it?
The farmers are required to sell at a predetermined price a certain percentage of the food to public schools, hospitals, and to the government as part of the social agenda for Cuba. But then they're allowed to sell the remainder to some extent on the open market, like farmers markets.
Greg, you started the Agroecology Network in part to get Cuban and American farmers to talk to each other and maybe share practices. What do you think U.S. farmers can learn from Cuban farmers?
There's been sort of a big debate going back and forth over whether or not a country can feed itself using organic techniques. You know, there's fear that they won't be able to protect the crops from pesticides, they won't be as productive. And so I guess the main thing that farmers can learn is, how does it work? What are the methodologies? Not just the science, but also the organization. They developed a very complex and sophisticated farmer-to-farmer network. They grew out of those difficult times. And the question is, can some of those ideas also be replicated in the United States?
Is the sustainable farming you're talking about in Cuba, is it organic or is it simply more sustainable than using pesticides?
My guess is about a quarter of the farms are organic, but that's compared to maybe about 0.2% in the United States. So it's organic and it's utilizing everything from cover crops and composting, permaculture techniques, vermiculture, worm farming. And they've integrated everything they possibly could to create a system that was as independent of chemical inputs.
You're arguing that Cuba is relatively sustainable by necessity and that they could be a model of a new food production system. But the island still imports the vast majority of its food and their farmers can't even come close to feeding the population. How could this be a model for other places?
Clearly, there are some things that just can't be grown in Cuba. It's too hot to grow at least some of the traditional grains. And if you look at what they are importing as opposed to what they're producing themselves, it's very interesting. Most of the things that they are capable of producing, they are. So it is a matter of degree and nuance. No one can do it alone, but in terms of what they've been able to accomplish, I guess it depends upon how we can realistically define sustainability.
Greg Watson, the founder and director of the new Cuba-U.S. Agroecology Network and former commissioner of the Massachusetts Department of Agriculture. Thanks, Greg.
Thanks for having me.